Back again in the, April 2016 edition of the Mike Moore Show here. Not a lot of time left as this is the last day of the month.
Welcome to April, Zach. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Well, yeah, you're welcome. Performance Radio News Director Zach Nelson, along with Beadle County State's Attorney Mike Moore and Executive Director for the South Dakota Network for, I'm sorry, Chris, to help me out with
South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault.
Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault. I hope by the end of the show here I will get that. Krista Graber-Herring, thank you so much for your time today coming up here and being a part of our program. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And it's Krista Herring Graber. Oh. That was a good shot.
Yeah, but maybe
Mike, ask a question.
Maybe we'll get the name right by the end of the show. What do you think?
All right, I'm going to find a pen here and write that down.
All right, so let's talk about April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. It's also Child Abuse Prevention Month. There was Victims' Rights Week during this month. Can you talk about what the network's involvement is with those programs and what you've done in April to kind of bring awareness to those issues?
Absolutely. So we are a membership organization. We have an association, and we have many member agencies across the state, YWCA, Family Violence Program, and in Huron, as well as the Jaminolis Family Safe Center. And we support all of their activities that they would be doing to recognize Sexual Assault Awareness Month and child abuse prevention activities. So we would support that. We list it on our website. We would provide any assistance, speakers or anything that they would ask us to assist with. The network itself, we are hosting an art show in Sioux Falls at the Washington Pavilion on Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. And it's recognizing artwork that's completed by survivors of sexual assault. And it's to help those survivors find their voice, express their about their own survival from sexual assault. And that will be on Saturday.
And having a month dedicated towards sexual assault and victims, I mean, where do you think the state is doing well, and where can we improve with service that we're providing to victims across the state?
Well, there's been a lot of improvements throughout the years in serving victims. Obviously, you've talked about Marcy's Law, that there's some discussion of victims' rights and improving that. And there's also many more services available for victims of crime across the state of South Dakota through shelters and crisis centers. I think it's an overall challenge for all of us to really understand what is sexual violence and what do we need to do to be a part of that whole prevention effort, to bring awareness to when we think of sexual violence, we think of you know, sex. But we have to understand that sometimes when we talk about prevention, we're really talking about respect. We're really talking about treating each other in a manner that would, you know, that would be nonviolent, and really sending the message in our society that we all have a responsibility to be a part of creating a nonviolent community. So we're not going to tolerate any type of violence, whether it be sexually or otherwise. And if we do see it, how do we intervene appropriately?
And a lot of times when we talk about this and we train on this, and even people that we train across the state, a lot of people think that sexual assault or sexual violence is basically for sex. Is that accurate?
No, it's actually much more than just that. I mean, that would be one part of what we would say is the crime of sexual violence. But we have many aspects of sexual harassment, and obviously with social media now, we can have different things that would be considered sexual assault crimes that would happen over social media, sexting or sextortion. But when we talk about some of the things with sexual assault and we're educating our youth, really, a lot of it has to do with respecting the other person and making sure that if there is anything that occurs, that there is consent and both parties are in agreement. as we know, sexual assault is not something that statistically happens with a stranger jumping out from behind a bush. We know that the great majority of the time, it is somebody that we know, and it is usually a family member.
And one of the things that I've seen recently with the addition of the internet, everybody has a smartphone. It's easy to send pictures there, especially with the younger generation. There's what we call sexting. But a lot of that seems like what you're talking about, respect. There's some threats involved in that. A case that we were working on is that's not unusual across the country is an individual was basically threatening another individual to send them a nude picture of themselves. And if they didn't, they were going to do certain things. So it's kind of like almost like cyberbullying. They've used that term, but I think it all comes down to like what you said, lack of respect for the other individual.
Well, absolutely. And I think what you're talking about maybe referred to sextortion, I don't know, or sexting. It's definitely happening in South Dakota. And it says a lot about respect, because a person is a lot more than the pictures that they would send over social media or they would text. There's a lot more to that person than just parts of their body that they would show to somebody else. What does that say about what that relationship really entails? Where is that respectful communication and that, you know, respectful part of the relationship? And I think that when we talk about sexual assault prevention, education, that's sometimes what we're talking about. What does it mean to really have a healthy relationship? What does it really mean to respect someone? What does it really mean to have appropriate sexual activity in that context?
In the context of what we're talking about, that situation we just talked about kind of raises a lot of different issues. I mean, we have a victim in that sense that was bullied, that was taken advantage of. You have an offender in that circumstance. I mean, from a law enforcement standpoint, from a prosecutor standpoint, in a lot of those situations, it's not very difficult for me to prosecute that case because we can get the phone, we have proof, we can prove that the person did this. Some of the issues that come up is, we get pressure. Should we be prosecuting that person? Should we be convicting that person? Should we make that person a sex offender? Do they need that? Do our laws covering that? If we do that, what should the judge do with that individual? And then the same thing with the victim. What should we do to help that victim in that circumstance?
So to talk about a victim survivor of sexual assault, the one thing I would emphasize is that we don't want to blame the victim. We don't want to re-victimize the victim. That we have to keep in mind that somebody else perpetrated on them. And sometimes we all make choices that others may not agree with. That doesn't mean that we're opening ourselves up to be offended upon by someone else and we're asking for that to happen. I mean, for years we've heard discussions about, well, if they didn't dress that way, if you would not walk at night by yourself and, you know, all those different things. Well, we all know, first of all, as I mentioned before, strangers don't, you know, it's not usually the strangers jumping out from behind the bush, right? But we have to stop focusing on what is the victim doing that's, people think that they're doing something to cause this, that it's their fault. It's not the victim's fault. It's never the victim's fault. Let's focus more on what the offender, why the offender is seeking out victims to offend. And so about holding the offender accountable and the different laws, I think we really have to look at, obviously there's offender rehabilitation and treatment, and hopefully that will all be considered, and I'm sure it is by the criminal justice system. But ultimately, offenders need to be held accountable so we can change this behavior. And we need to be able to have services to help victims and advocate for victims, because it's not their fault. If anyone's listening to this morning and have been a victim, survivor of sexual assault, the strongest message that we want to send is it's not your fault. And if you haven't received assistance and you feel like you need to receive support, therapy, counseling, we strongly encourage that.
You are listening to the April 2016 edition of the Mike Moore Show here on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.
We have special guests this month, and I hope I have, if I don't have this written down, I'm just going to get out of here, and Mike's just going to do the rest of the show. Krista Herron-Graber.
Yes.
All right. The Executive Director of the South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault.
Yes.
I'm two for two. We'll take a break. We're back with more of the Mike Moore Show after this on Dakota Country 1210.
KOKK.